All right, my notes are coming up here in a second. Here you go. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Hopefully, you can see me and see the notes or the slides behind me. It's tough coming up after an announcement like that. I'm glad that Denise just prayed, but I think it's actually very fitting that we're talking about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of different transitions, a lot of different things going on in and around the New York City Church. And as we've gone through these last few weeks, like Phil was talking about, it's actually a refreshing opportunity to involve and remember the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's one of those things I'm talking about in a little bit. It's one of those, unfortunately, it's one of those things that can often go neglected and not thought about, not talked about. But as you'll see, the Spirit is very present and it's moving. I'm excited to dig into some good Bible study tonight, look at a couple of different scriptures, maybe actually a lot of scriptures, but we'll go through it pretty quickly. Survivor is out tonight, and so maybe I'll get you done here so you can watch Survivor with the family if that's what you choose to do. Before we do that, let's jump into some just good news, some encouraging things coming out of Connecticut, of all places. Right here is a photo of our very own Derek McNeil, who married the love of his life, Olivia, now Olivia McNeil. Derek was a campus minister. He was a student that got baptized at Montclair State and later went on to be an intern. And then after college, moved over to Massachusetts so that he could pursue a job, but really the girl. But you know what's cool? We just started our fall semester here in the campus ministry. Brielle and I and John and Faith Novak lead the campus ministry in New Jersey. And I've been saying for so long to our students, as you share faith, right? One conversation could change somebody's eternity. I'll never forget what Shauna says. Shauna says that, we get to be, someone becoming a Christian, it becomes a cycle breaker in the generations that follow them of different things. And I love that. One of the things I cling to as we share our faith on campus is, and this is could be anywhere beyond campus too, but, the person that you share your faith with, who is a total stranger right now, you may be a groomsman in their wedding one day. And sure enough, when I look at this photo, Derek McNeil in the spring of 2021 got reached out to by me and a couple of other brothers, ignored me for 2 years, and then Mark Persing reached out to him and later went on to become a Christian. Derek and Taj, they met, they connected. Taj is our brother here in New Jersey, became a Christian. Steve, his freshman year, got reached out to on campus, walked away for a little bit, but later was restored and might be on the call with us even this evening. And Steve is a Christian. You see John Novak there, squinting in the sunlight. And then, of course, the best looking of all of us, Manny Akbonaya. Manny, as some of you may know, he and I met in, I believe it was the fall of 2019 or early spring 2020, and I shared my faith with him. And the second time that I got to see Manny in person, first was sharing my faith with him. The second time I saw him in person was when Daryl Jones and I baptized him with masks on in our backyard. And now Manny is our faithful brother in Christ. So you just never know. This is a picture we got to celebrate last weekend in tears. I looked at this. I mean, it looks like sweat, but it's really tears. Looking at my brothers here, just God moving so powerfully, and us getting to celebrate an amazing wedding together with our friends, and you just never know. The power of the Spirit is so incredible. Let's jump into it. Talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach Elohim, the Ruach Adonai. The Holy Spirit is referred to sometimes as the breath. It's often referred to also from a different perspective as wind. And that's going to be sort of the underlying theme in this message tonight. As we think about all that God is doing, all the ways that he's moving, I want us to just be mindful of this imagery of the wind. My daughter, Lily, is 1.5 years old, and she's in this phase where she's praying. She'll say, God, food, mom, dad, grandma, pop, pop, and then all of the aunts' names. But as we go for a walk, every morning she and I would get up. We'll take about a 30-minute walk around the neighborhood before I got to run to work. And I remember there's one space at the top of the hill where the wind was blowing. You saw the trees going back and forth. And so I told Lily, I said, Lily, look at that. That's the wind. And then I started trying to explain to her what the wind is. But for 1.5-year-old, like, what does that even mean? It's invisible. You can't see the wind. You can only see the effects of the wind. And a couple of days went by, and we're at that same spot, the top of the hill overlooking the valley. And without prompting her, she looked up and said, "Wind." I was like, "Yeah, that's my girl right there. I'm going to send this to Harvard. They're going to see. This is amazing." But I thought it was an interesting connection here. As we think about the Holy Spirit, there's something that's been sitting on my heart for a while, is that the Holy Spirit, in so many ways, is just like the wind. One, the wind is always blowing, but we're not always aware of it. Unless you trigger your mind to think about it, the wind is blowing right now, right? I was driving home from Montclair State, and there's a storm coming. I saw the wind. I wasn't thinking about it, but it's always blowing. Two is, do you see it? Are you looking for it? Are you looking to see the wind blow? And then three, the most difficult part about the wind, and I mean, and this is too much. I'm not teaching my daughter all this, but the interesting and most difficult part about the wind is trying to figure out what direction it's blowing in. And I find that to be so true of the Spirit, is the Spirit is working all around us at all times. And are we aware of it though? Sometimes we can live our lives completely unaware that there is a Holy Spirit, that He is moving and doing things. Two is, do we take the time to slow down to see the Holy Spirit working? Do you see it moving? Do you see it shaping the society around us? And three, the hardest one is, do you know which direction the Holy Spirit is moving? You know, often that requires us to slow down, to be sensitive, to take a moment to ask, God, what are you teaching me right now? Where are you going with the breeze? What are you doing? But I say that to say that the Holy Spirit is always moving, is always doing great things. And as we're in a time of transition within our church, and unfortunately, we may be in transitions for the rest of our lives. That's what it feels like. Just when you have something figured out, God goes ahead and shifts things up on us. But I want to just talk about two roles that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives, hopefully to encourage you, maybe to challenge you a little bit. That's okay. But I hope that you get to chew on some things that's shared tonight, and that helps you, encourages you throughout the week. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit in transition. There is much to be said about transition. We've already talked about it a lot, but there is transition beyond leadership. There's so much transition that goes on in lives. The Holmes and Raw stress scale out of Dartmouth College says that the five most stressful moments of people's lives are birth, death, job change, marriage, divorce. I mean, those are just peak stress. And you know, the Murdochs changed jobs or changed locations. There was moving. I mean, there's so much within the church, but maybe within your own life. And if you're going through a series of transition, it can be very disorienting. But here's the encouragement that we're going to see in the scriptures, is that the Holy Spirit is uniquely present in times of transition. I believe He specializes in transition. Go with me on a brief journey throughout the Bible. And I don't know how you're feeling tonight, if you're tired, if you had class today or work and you're like, I don't want to look at the screen any longer. Indulge me for a moment here. Let's look at the Old Testament. The Spirit shows up of equal part Old Testament and New Testament. It's over 300 times both ways. But I just want to highlight a few times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Old Testament. And notice His role when it is mentioned. In Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, bringing life and order. Genesis 41:38, the Spirit of God is in Joseph, and God Himself gives Joseph, through the Spirit, wisdom to lead Egypt. In Numbers 11, God shares the Spirit given to Moses with the 70 elders. So He disperses the Spirit that was given to Moses to others to empower and lead the people. Judges, this is an interesting study, and we talked about this in our By Faith series. It was tough to preach on. But in a time of unique transition in Israel's history, where there really were no leaders, the land was governed by judges, not always for the best people either, God uniquely shows up with the Holy Spirit to help the people be delivered and to navigate through some uniquely challenging times. First Samuel 10, the Spirit of God rests on Saul, and then it leaves him and goes to David. Exodus 31, you've got somebody building the tabernacle, and he was uniquely filled with the Spirit in order to accomplish his work. Joel 2, it's prophesied later, as we see in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit will be poured out on all people, giving us hope for the future and where God is taking us. I mean, this is just a quick snapshot, but just to highlight what's being talked about here is that the Spirit is the source of creation and life. It brings wisdom and discernment for leadership. It equips leaders to guide God's people. The Spirit gives power for victory and rescue. It anoints and it legitimizes leadership. It empowers creativity and beauty. And the Holy Spirit points us forward with hope. That is his role in these unique times of transition throughout the Old Testament. I'm not done. I could go for hours. We don't have hours, right? But in the in just in the book of Acts alone, the book of the Acts of the Spirit, Acts 2, the Spirit is poured out and dwells within his disciples. Acts 4, after intense persecution, the Spirit comes on the disciples and they're given granted boldness in the face of persecution. You know, seven servants, the leadership of the church was chosen based on people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 9, the conversion of Saul. Oh my goodness. Talk about the Holy Spirit's presence there. Acts 10, the Spirit falls on, I believe it's actually the Samaritans that it falls on. And no, it's on the Gentiles that it falls on. And that was huge. That was God saying, hey, these foreign people that were never allowed to be my people, they're now part of our church, and we accept them, and we're going to treat them as our own. The Spirit was absolutely crucial in legitimizing that reality. Acts 13 and 16, the Spirit sets apart Barnabas and Saul for the mission that's at hand. You know, where there is transition, all these stories, Old Testament and New Testament, the Spirit is uniquely involved in these pivotal times of transition. Where there is transition, the Holy Spirit is intimately involved. He is working and carrying us through it. You know, if there was a heat map of the Holy Spirit activity, I believe we'd see some of the greatest movements and presence and activity of the Holy Spirit when there are times of transition. And so people can look at transition and go, man, this is really hard. This is challenging. I wish we weren't going through this. But at the same time, God uniquely infuses his Holy Spirit to break through and to transform us, to transform society. And it's sometimes in the ugly, but it's often in transition. You know, one thing we can say with confidence is that when times of transition occur, the Holy Spirit empowers people for extraordinary things. God is working immensely in this unique time of transition. Are you aware, like the wind, that the Holy Spirit is working? Can you see it working? And the most difficult of all is, can you see where the Holy Spirit is taking us to go? You know, I invite you. I was in Charleston last weekend for a Caribbean Mission Society meeting, and on Saturday we had an open time to just kind of go hang out. I was hanging out with some of the Jersey people who migrated down to South Carolina. We still love them. I didn't disown them and not talk to them because they left us, but it was great. So I was getting some time with them, and then I had a little bit of free time. So they dropped me off at a Starbucks about 3 miles away from the church building. And instead of calling a $10 Lyft, I decided that I was going to make that 3 mile prayer walk over to the church building. And about halfway through, I started thinking about this lesson. I was thinking about the wind blowing, and I saw it blowing in Charleston. And I was like, you know what? I don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. And I did something that to me might feel a little, that felt a little hokey, but I'm like, let me just try it. So I silenced myself. I was walking on the side of the highway. My eyes were closed. Not a good idea. I'm on the sidewalk, and I just started silently going, God, what are you trying to teach me right now? And for 5 minutes, I just stayed silent. And usually I would say, this is weird. Don't do this. But I think things started bubbling up into my clarity that I had been prioritizing a lot of things that weren't primary things. And I was getting frustrated personally with some of the things that I was seeing and things were going on, not even in the church, just in life, like all these different things. And I listened to the Spirit, and it wasn't like it was an audible, this is it, but I almost felt like a gentle wind. You know, Matt, what's the main thing, right? And it's my time with God. It's my time with my family. It's keeping the main thing the main thing. And I honestly call me weird. That's okay. People call me weird all the time, especially those who are closest to me. Call me weird, but I will say I really took the time to slow down and listen. And I heard something. You know, I want to invite you this week, especially in this time of transition, in the busyness and the chaos of life, to eliminate hurry for a moment. Maybe it's 5 minutes tomorrow morning, before you got to run out of the house. Maybe it's if you can do it, wake up before the baby, wake up before the kids wake up, or after the kids go to school. Maybe it's an extra couple of minutes in the car before you walk into the office. And just take a second, be quiet, turn the music off, turn the headphones off, put the phone on D&D, and just listen. God, what are you trying to teach me right now? Because He is moving, He is working, we see Him working, but are we sensitive to the direction that He's blowing us in? Amen. Transition, the Holy Spirit in transition. There's so much more to say about this. I don't want to talk too much more. While we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I can't help but talk about Holy Spirit's role in our transformation. Certainly, He is involved in transition, but He's also involved in our transformation. Just to give you a couple of nuggets to think on, it's rare that we get a whole lesson dedicated to the Holy Spirit. And so while I have your attention, I just want to give us a couple of nuggets to think about, to be aware of the Holy Spirit's involvement in your life, especially when it comes to transformation. Larnie reminded me that I am a weatherman right now, so I'm probably blocking a couple of the words and move myself out of the way. John 14, 16 through 17, and verse 26. Jesus says, in a time of transition, when he's about to leave the earth and leave his disciples, talk about pivotal time, he comforts them with the Holy Spirit. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Now, I love this verse. It's Jesus's first true, the Holy Spirit is coming. It's good that I'm leaving. I'm going to send an advocate on your behalf. This word advocate, not a word that we use too much, right? The paraclete is the Greek word for it. But the word advocate also takes on the meaning of helper, advisor, legal defender, mediator, or intercessor, right? Again, his role in our transformation. But God has partnered and put the Holy Spirit inside of us, and he is a helper. He is an advisor, a comforter. He defends us, he mediates, and he intercedes. Now, amen. This is really cool. I love this. But as I was reading a commentary on John 14, what it pointed me to, and I point us to today, is that the Holy Spirit is, if it is our advocate, the direct opposite of an advocate is our accuser. And who is our accuser? The devil. And so to better understand the Spirit actually might be helpful to better understand our opponent in light of the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is our advocate, well, the devil is our accuser in Revelation 12, 10. If we understand the nature of the devil, reverse engineer that and we'll better understand the nature of the Spirit that lives within us. If the devil is fully involved in accusing us, tearing us down, making us feel terrible and guilty and shameful, well, the Holy Spirit comforts and strengthens and reminds us of who we are. In John 10, the thief comes, the devil comes to steal our joy, our peace, to kill us, to destroy us. The Holy Spirit comes to give life, to repair. The devil looks for someone to devour. Well, that means the Holy Spirit is looking for someone to heal. You know, I love that imagery. I was in a conversation earlier today, a very difficult conversation. I can't get into too many details, but you know, you've been there at your rock bottom, where how did I get here? And as sad and as frustrating as the situation was that I was involved in, I'm reminded about how the Holy Spirit is right there with that person, is comforting them, is not giving up, no matter whether or not they choose to follow Jesus or whatever. He is obsessed with them.
He is all about them. He is all about guiding them to truth, leading them to righteousness. And I love that that's true about us. No matter what we go through, wherever we are, the Holy Spirit is in the business of strengthening, supporting, and giving us a foundation to rest on. Thank you, God, for his role in our transformation. John 16, 7 through 13, last scripture, and we'll land on this. I love this part. Verse 7 says, "But very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away." Pause. Jesus says, "It is better for you that I go away." In the spiritual commentary, Alfred says, "This implies that the dispensation of the Spirit is a more blessed manifestation of God than was even the bodily presence of the risen Savior." The Spirit being given to us, Jesus says, it's better for you to have my Spirit than if I were here with you in person. I mean, guys, I'm trying to understand the Holy Spirit. I've got a developing understanding. Some people understand it better than I do. But wow, if Jesus says it's better for me to go away so that you can have the Holy Spirit, there's something about that, guys. There's something about the power of the Spirit existing in and around us. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. The Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. But about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you about this, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I love that the Holy Spirit's job in our transformation, that we know the direction that he's blowing. He's blowing on our backs. He's saying to us, he's leading us to a deeper understanding. A deeper sensitivity to sin, an awareness of God's righteousness and following in him. That's his GPS coordinates. That's the direction that the wind is blowing, right? That's where he's trying to take us. He's trying to make us sensitive to the judgment of eternity, the judgment that is coming, and a conviction of right and wrong. The Holy Spirit is working in the worlds to convict ourselves, to lead us in the direction of development. It's interesting. With that being said, Dave Mitchell and I have gone for a few bike rides in the past, and we know the difference when you are in a headwind and the wind is coming against you, blowing you in the opposite direction that you're trying to go, versus when you have a tailwind and you are just the wind is carrying you in that opposite direction. It is carrying you forward. It's interesting in talking about the Spirit in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Stephen, as he's being stoned, you know what? Let me not say that it was Stephen being stoned. All I know is this is in Acts 7, verse 51. Correct me. And feel free to write who was saying this in the chat. Sorry about that. But the Bible says, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." That's a scary place to be, because we know the Spirit is trying to lead us to a sensitivity to sin. The Holy Spirit is trying to lead us to a greater appreciation of eternity, of righteousness, of holy living. But we got to ask ourselves, am I going in the flow of the Spirit where he's trying to take me, or am I resisting the direction that he's trying to make me go? The question we have to ask ourselves is the Holy Spirit in me, or is he an inmate? Am I going with the Spirit? Is he taking me where I'm going? Or am I taking it to places it shouldn't be going? Am I resisting where the Spirit is trying to take me? Is he in me, or is he an inmate? The wind is blowing. The Holy Spirit is trying to lead us through transition, trying to lead us through transformation. And that's the direction he's trying to take us in, to deeper convictions, to a transformed place. I love, even in the midst of transition in the Garden State Church, it's so cool just like throughout the Old Testament and New, seeing people raise their hands and saying, I want to help. I think it's okay if I say this, but a survey went out about, hey, what are some classes that you'd like to do or like to hear for the Garden State Church? And I just gotta say, your Nellis in the Edge Ministry, she raised her hand and said, hey, I'm here to help. Whatever you guys need, I'm here for it. And that's what I love. In times of transition, the Spirit prods and moves us, and maybe even sometimes encourages us to raise our hands. Maybe that wouldn't have happened in times of transition. What is God uniquely telling you? What is the Spirit uniquely inviting you to do during this time? Where is the Spirit leading you during this time? What is He attempting to teach you and learn? And will you slow down enough to hear it, to listen? I would encourage you to journal, to talk about it. If there's something stirring in your heart recently, let's talk about it. Let's have some great conversations. Let's let the Holy Spirit do his thing, not pretend like the wind that he's not there, not pretend like he's not blowing, but say, hey, there is something going on right now. Let's be sensitive and look for it. I wish I had more answers. Each of us have a unique situation, but let's take the time to be sensitive to where God is taking us to go. I want to close out in prayer, and then we're going to close out with one last song. Really want to thank you guys all for being here. I skipped campus midweek to be here tonight, and I'm so glad that I did, seeing everybody's faces and getting to just be with you all tonight. But let's pray. I hope you guys have an amazing week. We'll see the men's for the men's retreat on Sunday or on Saturday this weekend, and everybody else. Have a great worship service, but love you a ton. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what can we say but thank you for the Holy Spirit? Spirit, we admittedly don't know you the way we wish we could. And a bit like somebody trying to understand the wind, there are basics that we understand about you, but we want to know you more intimately. We want to become more familiar to what you're doing, where you're going. We know you're involved in every nook and cranny of our lives right now. You are doing amazing things, even if that means leading us through painful times. God, you are still working. Help us be sensitive. Help our hearts not be hard to you teaching us about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Help us find great comfort in you as you advocate for us and defend us against the accuser. Lord, I pray that this message inspire my brothers and sisters. I pray that you lead us to many open souls in our workplaces, in our communities, at our parks, with our friends, and with our family. God, not so that others can have an easier life, but so that they can experience you, experience the intimate power of the Holy Spirit and the rock that is you, God, in our lives. We thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for the church. Thank you that our best days are certainly ahead of us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.